You're tuned to KNCE Taos 93.5 FM. We stream worldwide at truetausradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. My name's Howie. Joining me in studio, members of the different entities in support of Carson National Forest and a prescribed burn that's going to perhaps start this week, and a little history and context about the prescribed burn, the Hermit's Peak Calf Canyon fire happened last year. Joining me in studio are Brandy Richardson, Esme Cadiente, and Public Affairs Officer for Carson National Forest, Zach Behrens. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, Howie. Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for taking the time and packing in to the studio here. It's nice to see you. I know you've been here before to talk about various things about Carson National Forest. So we're here today, as I mentioned, to talk about prescribed burns and a much more general context of forest restoration and a big project, the Rio Chama Collaborative Forest Landscape Restoration Project, which the way I understand it is kind of a result of the big infrastructure package that was passed in Congress last year, and a bunch of money coming our way to help with our forests. How's that for a start?
That's great, Howie, and I really want to thank you for having us and holding the space for these important conversations. You know, before we get to specifics about what we plan to do tomorrow with the Will Piles prescribed fire, I want to acknowledge first and foremost that the loss from the Hermit's Peak Calf Canyon fire was catastrophic. And everyone here in Taos, in northern New Mexico, are still very much living with that. And what happened because of that is that prescribed fire was paused, and not just locally or in New Mexico, it was paused nationally. And that's because things really need to be done differently. And so as a result of that, you know, we are working a lot closer with our elected officials, local leaders, volunteer fire departments. We're making sure we are really utilizing science and communication to ensure that we as a community together are taking advantage of these windows of opportunity for prescribed fire. And so that's what tomorrow is all about. That's why we're only doing one prescribed fire right now. If people might be familiar with, every season we'll make an announcement going, hey, we're going to do these seven prescribed fire projects around the forest in the winter. This time around, we're just moving forward thoughtfully with one, getting to know the new recommendations, the new way of doing business. And then, you know, we'll evaluate how that went and then move on to another one and to another one. And whether that's this winter or if that's next year, that's to be seen. So at this point, tomorrow, we've been working and coordinating with elected officials and our cooperators to do the Willow Piles prescribed fire, which is about 10 miles west of Tres Piedras. It's kind of near Hopewell Lake, but not super close to it. And that's a result of a project that we've been working on for years. So first it's timber, then it's fuel wood gathering for the community. Then we have all the stuff that people don't want, right? Small diameter branches, treetops, all the leftovers. And that gets piled up, and we put those in huge mechanical piles, and then we ignite them. And so we've been working with meteorologists, checking in last week. We did a meeting yesterday. And if conditions hold, tomorrow we'll do our first ignition sense. And light winds out of the north-northwest look good so that we have a good ventilation that smoke disperses. We're not sure if it'll be visible from here in Taos or not, but if it is, that's what's happening.
That is some good background. And in general, for those who just might not fully understand the prescribed, when a prescribed burn happens, is that pretty much how it is? Because I had visions in the past of living trees and just going in there and doing what would happen with a wildfire, mm-hmm. and burning trees that are standing. Is it burning of the piles a more common type of prescribed burn?
Yeah, there's going to be different types.
Yeah.
So pile burning is one type, and sometimes you do that before you're able to get to what you were just describing. We call that a broadcast prescribed fire, where the forest floor, we do something that's mimicking a lightning strike in the forest floor, and it's low intensity, low flame length, moving across the forest floor and consuming all those fuels that we always sometimes forget about that's building up on the forest floor. It's decomposing pine needles, leaves, other materials. And sometimes that can, if we don't have fire that often, that can get really deep. And
sure.
When it gets really deep, and you have a wildfire, it's going to burn very hot, very intensely, and it's going to kill the forest via the root system. We're often used to images of a fire rolling through the canopy, and that will kill trees too, but a fire in the root system will do the same to the forest and sure. the watershed.
Excellent information. Zach Behrens, Public Information Officer for Carson National Forest. So that's happening tomorrow, or assuming conditions hold, weather conditions hold.
Exactly.
And you'll have all your people in place. Let's talk big picture here about some of the other work that's going to be happening, it looks like, over the next several years due to some of this money that's coming through the infrastructure package. And it covers a couple of states and four national forests in the area. So you want to introduce our guest and talk a little bit about this big picture?
Yeah. So the Carson National Forest is part of two national initiatives to confront the wildfire crisis and restore lands. And for us, it actually covers about 1.3 million acres of the forest. And one is the Enchanted Circle National Landscape in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains here just next to town. But today, and the Willow Piles prescribed fire, that's in the footprint of the Rio Chama Collaborative Forest Landscape Restoration Project in the San Juan Mountains near Tres Piedras, El Rito, over there. And so here with me today is Brandy Richardson, who is the Public Affairs Officer for that project that covers four forests. And we have Esme here from the Forest Steward Guilds, because everything that we're doing is very project-oriented. We call that shared stewardship. Working with groups like the Forest Stewards Guild, working with volunteer fire departments, with county fire departments, et cetera. So I'll let them give you the big picture of what's going on in the Rio Chama watershed.
Excellent. Brandy Richardson, welcome, and thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having us, Howie. And so, as Zach mentioned, the CFLRP stands for Collaborative Forest Landscape Restoration Program. And essentially what that is a congressionally funded program that encourages a collaborative, science-based ecosystem restoration of these priority forest landscapes. So if you're looking west of Taos, you'd be looking into our project area. Because this is a mouthful, we generally refer to it as the Rio Chama CFLRP or the Rio Chama Project. And the project area covers about 3.8 million acres across the four forests, so the Rio Grande and portions of the San Juan in Colorado, and the Santa Fe National Forest and the west side of the Carson National Forest in New Mexico. And just over half of the land is Forest Service, and the remaining lands are held by tribal nations, the states of Colorado, New Mexico, the Bureau of Land Management, and private landowners. And within our footprint, project footprint, we have the headwaters of the Chama, the Rio Grande, and the San Juan Rivers. So why is this important? Well, many of New Mexico's water sources originate in these high elevation forests, which have been heavily impacted by disturbances such as wildfire, drought, insects and disease, and climate change. And dozens of small towns and villages depend on these forests in the project area and have so for centuries. For building materials, using firewood to heat their homes, cook, and water to irrigate their fields. In addition, the footprint spans across some of the most uninterrupted wildlife habitat in the lower 48. And as we know, wildlife don't really follow political boundaries and migrate across these landscapes. So back in 2020, the Forest Service worked closely with the 232 Cohesive Strategy, which is the umbrella collaborative that represents about 30 other place-based collaboratives across southern Colorado and northern New Mexico. And I'll let Esme talk a little bit more about this, you know, but ultimately collaboration is huge here, and our goal is to work together across these boundaries to treat all lands, you know, with the hopes that this community-driven effort with an all-lands approach will help improve our watershed function in forest resilience in the face of many of these disturbances. So Esme Cadiente is with the Forest Stewards Guild. And as I mentioned, the 232 strategy, she can talk a bit about that. But we work very closely with our partners at Mountain Studies Institute and the Forest Stewards Guild. So I'll pass it over to Esme to talk a little bit more about that.
Good morning, Esme.
Good morning. Thanks for having us today. So you've been hearing us talk about this word collaborative and working collaboratively for common goals. A big part of this work with the collaborative forest landscape restoration projects are about building relationships and working across different lands and multi-jurisdictions. So the 232, which is the two watersheds, three rivers, and two states cohesive strategy partnership, which is a mouthful, so we just call it the 232 for short, brings partners and stakeholders together to nurture this multifaceted effort to reach goals and desired conditions at a landscape scale. So what this looks like on the ground is a very intentional effort to weave together projects and funding in order to leverage resources and treat across boundaries on private, tribal, and public lands, and to have this multi-jurisdictional impact. And so what, might you ask, are we doing? The largest project for the 232 is now this Rio Chama, CFLR, Rio Chama project. And so originally Congress established the CFLR program to encourage collaborative science-based ecosystem restoration of priority forested landscapes. And so because this is one of those priority forested landscapes, the goals for this Rio Chama project are to increase forest resilience to disturbances like wildfire, but also other things, insects and disease and climate change, as well as restoring watershed and riparian areas to improve water quality and watershed function, to improve range conditions and wildlife habitat and connectivity. And then a big part of this, too, is to support local rural economies and create jobs by utilizing restoration byproducts. Another facet of this, you know, this overall project is to connect with tribal land grant and acequia communities and engage youth in public land management. So that's in a nutshell what this project aims to do. The Rio Chama project will receive $3 million a year for the next 10 years across 3.8 million acres. So it's a huge undertaking. And so the collaborative, the 232, brings these voices together to ensure that the CFLR is headed down the right path to achieve the project goals and objectives, and that it's reflective of all the partners in the landscape.
Sounds like no small undertaking. For starters, a lot of stakeholders, as you mentioned, and so much more than the projects on the ground. We talked about a prescribed burn being just one example of the project's work. It sounds like communication and education is as much an essential component, since it covers such a huge area here. And I mean, how big are the teams? I imagine to have to deal with all the different tribal entities and the local and state entities. Where are these teams based, and are there people here in our community that are representing on your behalf?
I can answer that. So the Rio Chama Forest Service team is only four individuals. However, our partners at the 232 have roughly 30 place-based collaboratives and probably a team of about a dozen folks that we work with on a daily basis. And that doesn't account for the four forests and their program managers and project managers and line officers, which is roughly about 60. And so it's a lot of relationship building. And that's what I think is really unique and special about this effort, is that it was happening well before we were awarded the congressional funding, and it will continue. And it's just building momentum as we go. So yeah, it's a lot, but it's also really rewarding to work with all these people that have this kind of unified vision of forest resilience in these areas.
Sure. Can one of you guys give an example, other than a prescribed burn, of some of the restoration work that someone who might be out in the forest this summer might see you guys working on? Is it going to be a matter of looking at the water, looking at the erosion, you know, some basic stuff that people will know what's going on?
Sure. So we have all different kinds. You know, a lot of it is hazard, fuels reduction, timber treatments. Right now, there's one on the Santa Fe, the one that comes to mind on the Cuba Ranger District, Rock Creek. And it's, you know, selling one component of that project, other than selling timber into the local mills, is the wood for, there's a wood for life component. And Esme may be able to talk a little bit more to that, but it's essentially you're able to sell the unmerchantable timber to indigenous communities. And so they're able to haul to the chapter houses close by, and those communities can use the wood for fuel wood. It's called the Wood for Life program. And so that's one example. We also have various wildlife habitat improvement, stream improvements, project planning for some of these things, road maintenance to access the treatment units. So those are just some on the Forest Service side. And then Esme can talk more about some of our other efforts on the private and non-federal side.
Right. So there's obviously a lot of private land interspersed among those 3 million acres or whatever that number was.
Yeah. Roughly half of the land is Forest Service held, and the remaining half roughly is state and state of New Mexico and Colorado Bureau of Land Management and tribal nations and then private landowners.
And so, again, the undertaking, the challenges that must be presented in trying to coordinate with these different entities. And then, for the most part, do you get clearance to be on those lands, or do you use people from the tribe or from the state to do the work, or do you guys bring in crews of your own through Carson National Forest? Or?
Yeah, thanks, Howie. So we would do both. It depends on the situation and who the private landowner is and how they would want to approach getting some of the work done on their own lands. Another thing I'd like to mention, too, that this project is really focusing on, and projects like this in other parts of the country focus on, is monitoring. And so right now, the Forest Stewards Guild and the Mountain Studies Institute staff are developing the monitoring program, and that's designed to inform land management decisions and to ensure that like negative restoration effects can be mitigated prior to repetition, or that successful forest management can inform future actions within the project footprint and beyond potentially. And so that's where we also really connect with private landowners as well, is on the monitoring side of things. And they're often amenable to, you know, setting up like a long-term forest plot on their property or helping with help inform some of that, those
yeah,
efforts.
Essential, obviously very essential. I feel like we could go on and on. We are unfortunately running out of time. This is a long-term project. I think, Esme, you mentioned that $3 million a year will be coming into this project for 10 years. And can we expect to see other entities or additional grants or funding or projects being born out of this 10-year plan, right? I mean, I guess as we go, we'll determine needs and...
Yes, for sure. Part of our work is to build relationships and continue to look for those leveraging opportunities for funding. And also, you know, like Esme mentioned, it's a 10-year project. So through 2031, with the option to extend it another 5 years, and monitoring will continue past that. And as we develop projects, you are able to find out more information. And if you want to partake and maybe be part of the community that helps inform our efforts, there's a website you can visit. It's the 232partnership.org, and that's kind of worked on jointly between the 232 and our partners and the Forest Service, and we'll update and share information there as it develops.
And I do see a get involved section on the website.
Yes.
232partnership.org, and obviously lots of links and resources to the other entities involved in this massive project.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you want to become part of that, that's where you would join there. And also, it's always a great idea to follow the Four Forest Public Affairs Facebook pages or websites. Will be, you know, for every forest, say if you want to know more about projects on the Santa Fe or on the Carson or on any of the Colorado forests, you can go to their forest websites and they'll also have information there.
Awesome. Brandi Richardson, Public Affairs Officer for the project, and Esme Cadiente is here with the Forest Stewards Guild. Zach, also, Barons, if you want to come back in and maybe just recap about the prescribed burn that is likely to happen tomorrow, and just to kind of bring it back down into what people can expect to see and, you know, what this is really ultimately resulting in.
Yeah, definitely. And you can think of projects like the Willow Piles prescribed fire as just one area, and as we grow out of that, and we've been doing this for years, but the acceleration, pace, and scale is going to increase, but they're like building blocks, right? So if you remember the Midnight Fire this past summer, lightning strike in an area that, you know, was a bit dense, maybe you can call it a unhealthy part of the forest, but as it kept on rolling, it hit a wildfire that we managed back in 2019, and also an area that we did some pile burning previous. And that fire was something that was able, the firefighters were able to then work with and stop that forward rate of progress. So The Will Piles Prescribed Fire is going to be like that. It's piles created from 500 acres of thinning, and we hope to start that tomorrow, weather conditions pending. And yeah, follow us on Twitter or Facebook. Also, there's a website called NCWeb, NC for incident, and we will update there as well.
Yeah, I know we spent a lot of time looking at that one for the Hermit's Peak Calf Canyon fire. And it was great to see the jump in communication and disseminating information during the fires. And I hope that can continue even in peacetime here, for lack of a better word.
Definitely. Cool. Well, thanks for having us.
Well, guys, thanks so much for taking the time. And let's keep the conversation going. You're welcome back here anytime, especially as project aspects of this project affect us here directly in Taos in northern New Mexico.
Definitely. Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you. All right.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.